246. Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen. Heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God,
merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this step, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. Let us give glory to him because he has shown his mercy to us. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The voice of the Lord maketh the deer to calve, and lays the forests bare. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth as king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. Let us give glory to him because he has shown his mercy to us.
Of God.
Let us pray. Holy and triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who alone has our salvation in your hand, who begins, continues, and completes it, have mercy on us all. Father of light, send us your Holy Spirit, that he reveal to us the grace of your Son and work faith in him in our hearts, that we, whom your Son has redeemed, may be and remain the temple of your Spirit of grace, your dear children, and heirs of salvation here in faith and there in sight. Hear us for the sake of your grace and truth, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. The Old Testament lesson for this Trinity Sunday, written in Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in the 11th chapter of Romans, beginning at verse 33. No. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Here endeth the epistle. Blessed art thou, O Lord, who beholdeth the deep, and who dwellest between the cherubim. Thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Is written in the third chapter of St. John, beginning at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, but you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Here endeth the gospel. We confess together the Athanasian Creed found on page 53. Whosoever will be saved, before all things it is necessary that he hold the Catholic faith, which faith except everyone do keep whole and undefiled, without doubt he shall perish everlastingly. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons, nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Ghost. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is all one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Ghost. The Father uncreate, the Son uncreate, and the Holy Ghost uncreate. The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Ghost incomprehensible. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Ghost eternal. And yet they are not three eternals, but one eternal. As there are not three uncreated, nor three incomprehensibles, but one uncreated, and one incomprehensible. So likewise the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Ghost almighty. And yet they are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God. And yet they are not three gods, but one God. So likewise the Father is Lord, the Son Lord, and the Holy Ghost Lord, and yet not three Lords, but one Lord. For alike as we are compelled by the Christian verity to acknowledge every person by himself to be God and Lord, so are we forbidden by the Catholic religion to say there be three gods or three Lords. The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten. The Son is of the Father alone, not made nor created, but begotten. The Holy Ghost is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons,
one Holy Ghost, not three Holy Ghosts. And in this Trinity, none is before or after another. None is greater or less than another. But the whole three persons are co-eternal together and co-equal, so that in all things, as it is aforesaid, the unity in Trinity and the Trinity in unity is to be worshipped. He, therefore, that will be saved must thus think of the Trinity. Furthermore, it is necessary to everlasting salvation that he also believe faithfully the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man, God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the worlds, and man of the substance of his mother, born in the world, perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul and human flesh subsisting, equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, and inferior to the Father as touching his manhood, who, although he be God and man, yet he is not two, but one Christ. One, not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking the manhood into God. One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. For as the reasonable soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He sitteth on the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead, at whose coming all men shall rise again with their bodies, and shall give an account of their own works. And they that have done good shall go into life everlasting, and they that have done evil into everlasting fire. This is the Catholic faith, which except a man believe faithfully and firmly, he cannot be saved.
Please be seated for hymn 251.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text, the gospel lesson. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, but do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Our Lord is always accommodating to those who wish a serious conversation with him. And that is what took place. It doesn't happen as much as Jesus wants. In the account of another Pharisee and a tax collector who at the temple wanted to engage God in a conversation called prayer, the Pharisee was not serious about it. He was only serious about himself. He said, "God, you can see how good I am over against how bad others are." But our text is with a different Pharisee. And it is an invitation to engage God in conversation. And the parameters, the basis, the basics of that conversation, our Lord makes clear. Nicodemus came to Jesus, and John says it was by night, not a common time for conversation. But God, who came to serve and not to be served, accommodated him as he did many other people. In this case, he did it for a Pharisee. Pharisees prided themselves on keeping the law, and then they thought themselves to be the separated ones. But not just a Pharisee, this one also a ruler of the Jews, one of the elders who made up the Sanhedrin, the governing authority of the old Jewish nation, which the Roman rulership had allowed them to retain. By now, the Pharisees in general, the Sanhedrin in particular, had made it clear that they would not be endorsing the ministry or the person of Jesus of Nazareth. But God is no respecter of persons, that is to say, he doesn't profile, didn't rule Nicodemus out because he was a Pharisee. Jesus came to forgive sinners. And to do that, he met with them. That is what a mediator does. From eternity, our triune God had in mind that the Son of God should represent God to man and man to God. This doctrine of the Messiah's role, Jesus would teach Nicodemus, but first things first, in a conversation. See, in a conversation with God, we must know who we are, what we're not. Nicodemus called Jesus Rabbi, which means my master. It was a term of respect. It was a common address to those who were teacher. But it didn't imply faith when it was used. And in fact, Nicodemus could only allow that Jesus had come from God, and that the things he did showed that God was with him. But the point is that he did come to God. Some in our day come to a time when they contemplate a higher power, or think that perhaps this one or that one has come from God, or that God is with them, that they might have some particular knowledge or ability above the normal. And so perhaps, and especially under times of stress, the triune God and those who represent him are approached. And the Holy Spirit helps us in those times to be ready to give answer. Now, Jesus anticipated Nicodemus's need. It was a need, first of all, to know himself. The first basic of communication with God is humility. Now, our nature is marked by Adam's disdain for humility and desire for position, even for divinity. Now, Nicodemus had been brought into the true faith, had the true knowledge of self and of God by virtue of his circumcision and exposure to Scripture. But as so often happens, the world and its wrong teaching had gradually infected him, and he had it bad, because the primary doctrine of the Pharisee was completely anti-scriptural. It was that by following the outward demands of Scripture with the new and improved interpretations of their scholastics, they could, on their own recognizance, be found righteous. And so God was only needed to declare how good they were. That wrong understanding of ourselves puts us back into Satan's lap, where we deceive others and others deceive us, and where we become attached to the lifeless lies of evolution, of psychology, of so-called modern religion. See, to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we can bring nothing. As our epistle put it, who has first given to God, and it shall be repaid to him. And so in conversation with God, this is a basic fact that mere humans are in need, not just because of some injustice being done us or some disease that we have, but in need against the sin that has messed us up inside and outside from our first cell division until our last breath. You see, our sin, our selfishness and pride, will end in our deaths. Our deaths will end in judgment. Our judgment will end us in hell, and hell has no end. And that is a lot for a proud human to swallow. That we enter life fit only for hell, and that God does have a hell, are the two facts most disbelieved by the world, and even by too many who call themselves Christian. And so Jesus retaught Nicodemus in a most solemn way, beginning with the word amen. It is certain, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was being told he was not exceptional, and that no exceptions would be made. Jesus was saying that nothing about us is good enough, so nothing short of a complete makeover will suffice. He repeated himself to dissuade Nicodemus of the crass idea of a replay of our first birth. Amen. Amen. I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus then gave the reason. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And there was a promise there. And like the woman in physical distress who saw Jesus pass by and grasp the hem of his garment for help, so there is something for Nicodemus to grasp, thus to grasp here in Jesus' word. Flesh avails nothing, but the Spirit gives a new birth, one from above, one that is therefore good and right, because it's worked by God. This new birth puts us squarely into the kingdom of God, not at some future date, but right now. By baptism, a new beginning is given us. Now, of course, daily, it's a choice with every temptation that life presents us, every trial that we enter. It's a choice of which birth matters to us. Will we be a child of Adam, or will we be a child of God? Now, Jesus didn't get into this we call sanctification, how we live, right away with Nicodemus. Just now, his frank conversation with the man was about regeneration and about faith. And so to the first two basics of conversation, a third would be added. The first basic, again, is that we be humble. We are sinful. We're doomed without his action through the Son and the Spirit. The second fact or basic of conversation is that God indeed is willing to act by his Son and the Spirit to give us a new start. And in response to Nicodemus's jaw-dropped reluctance came the third basic of conversation. Jesus said, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." The fact that there is a new birth in baptism should not be whittled into rational pieces by us and then allowed to sink into some profane system. Let the mystery remain and simply believe. But we take such high stock in our rational thinking and in the scientific age especially, it's easy for us to lose Jesus' teaching by trying to figure out the how of baptism. And even the why I was given it and not somebody else. Since the decision to save and the act to save come from God, who are we to think that we can unravel them in their mystery? And that is what baptism is. It's a mystery, it's a wonder. Most of what God has done for us is a wonder. But especially that he would still love those who constantly offend him, which isn't just a few of us, it's all of us, the whole category called humanity, 6+ billion of us every day, every hour, and every minute. Now, we might have an inkling of the love of the Father in the love that human fathers perhaps have for their children, often do. But what earthly father has not also offended his children and, in fact, hurt them? Now, if God harms us, as he did the ego of Nicodemus, it's for our own good. God pointed out a commonality to Nicodemus in the way of an allegory to keep him humble here. You cannot tell where the wind comes from or where it goes. Yet, you do feel it without being able to explain it. It's real. The problem with Nicodemus's last question is, and the question was, how can these things be? Isn't so much that he couldn't understand these things as this inability to understand made him doubt these things. His reluctance to believe them was his real problem. A third basic of conversation with God is that we believe that he works wonders, the mechanics of which we can't always see. He wants us to believe it, however, to have a faith and a trust that says what he has said is true. What he commands is good. What he promises, we should be expecting. Therefore, how tragic it is in our day when, for instance, at the nursing home where I work, I noticed a resident's bulletin from the church. It prefaced the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis 1, by saying that it was not written at Moses' time or by Moses, but 900 years later during the Babylonian captivity of Judah. When I asked him if he believed what Genesis 1 said, that God created in six literal 24-hour days, he said, "No, the days were different then." He didn't believe the simple and very concise words of the Holy Spirit, but he did believe the words of mere humans, supposed scholastics. Those who act to tear down the simple faith that God wants from each of us, that he has implanted in us at holy baptism, they will face a severe judgment. And that attitude of question and not faith from Nicodemus, from one who should know better, is why Jesus was so blunt with him. "Are you the teacher of Israel, but do not know these things?" Are you the teacher? To question a man's vocation, that really levels one's pride. But this too had its goal, that he considered what the content of his teaching would be from then on. He couldn't do anything about what was before, but the future. The future Jesus was about to pronounce to him was now opening to Nicodemus, and perhaps that's why we hear no more questions, no more doubts from him. As a final warning to his past life, Jesus said, "If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" Communication with God. It starts with the right attitude of humility. We are not sufficient to ourselves. Second, we approach God with hope, though perhaps it's only a small hope because of the trials we're undergoing. And yet it is a hope that God is willing to act by the Son and the Spirit to give us a new start. Third, our conversation with God must admit that he is God and we aren't. His acts might seem mysterious. And so it is that perhaps the plain water, the bread and the wine seem too poor of vessels for such mighty results as the forgiveness of sins. But his ways are far above our ways. His power is unlimited. His wisdom, perfect. His view is eternal. We're simply to accept the mystery of Christianity and know that miracles have happened and will happen for no other reason than that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are true God beyond nature and its limits. The fourth basis of communication with God is that we come to him knowing that in Christ God has invested his grace. He can tell us of earthly things since he is a man, and most importantly, he can tell us heavenly things because he is God. There is no other mediator. There never will be another mediator. There's no other way out of judgment into heaven. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. Our Lord Jesus lives in both worlds, in our Father's world above, and in your world, our world. The divine realities of the perfect life of heaven are his, and his to give. The trials of this world were his, and his to own. And he did. He came here and gave the Holy Spirit after he gave his own life for us. He gave the Spirit to work here so that you can be given a new start, starting now. He made it possible. He described how it would be done. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You know the story, but it's worth repeating. As so often happens, the believers became unbelievers. When the Israelites became ungrateful, the next thing to go was faith. God sent poisonous snakes, which killed many. The people approached Moses, their priestly mediator, as he should. Moses approached God in the ways we have spoken as basis for such communication, in humility, in hope that God would act, acceptance that God's acts will be divine and therefore not always explainable, and he approached in belief. God told Moses to make a serpent, to place it on a pole, to hoist it up, and promised that whoever would look upon it would be saved from the serpent's poison. And those that looked were saved. The word of promise attached to the bronze serpent reestablished our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as once again patient and gracious towards his people. Jesus told Nicodemus, in effect, as that serpent saved by God's word, so I will save because I am the word of God, the word of grace. I will give up my flesh and perfect spirit when lifted on a cross. As a serpent was used to defeat many serpents, so my death will be used to defeat death. And that is what Jesus meant when he said, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In Jesus, only in Jesus, only by faith in Jesus, will we see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus on his own would trust only in himself. But Nicodemus, in those moments, God was coming to live with him, trying. And in the years that followed, Nicodemus was not on his own. He had become a disciple. God worked a new heart in him, as he has in you, by the word and the spirit. They are present in baptism so that you have life with a good and holy and eternal Father. Don't let baptism be just a certificate on a wall, however. It truly is an event that still makes Satan tremble. Your baptism has validity every single day and moment. Baptism is an invitation that we communicate with our triune God through the mediator. Many don't want to communicate with God because of what they know they'll hear. We do want to communicate. Nicodemus has taught us that communication with God ends well, especially when entered rightly. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
O God, thou fountain of all our blessings, who art from everlasting to everlasting, and who dwellest in majesty, honor, and glory, as the most blessed Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank thee for the wondrous mercy by which we have come to love thee. We thank thee that thou art the one true triune Godhead, eternal, immortal, invisible, in whom we live and move and have our being. We bless thee, Almighty Father, whose glory filleth the heavens, who madest all things. Thy judgments and decrees in the whole universe declare and show forth thy power and glory. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom thou hast made them all. We worship thee, O Christ, thou only begotten Son of the Father. Thou wast lifted up to draw all men unto thee, that whosoever believeth in thee should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thou hast been exalted to the right hand of the Father, and been given a name which is above every name, and now ever livest to make intercession for thy people. O Lord, how great is thy mercy! In love thou hast ransomed and redeemed us. We praise thee, O Holy Spirit, who hast called us by the gospel and has led us into all truth. Thou hast gathered us into thy church and sanctified us by thy grace. Thou hast transformed us in the inner man and renewed us in the spirit of our minds. O Lord and giver of life, how marvelous are thy gifts! In grace thou givest them all. We pray, Almighty God, that we may be enriched from the treasures of thy wisdom and knowledge. Open to us the Holy Scriptures, that we may grow in the understanding of thy will. Render thee a more acceptable service, and attain a more perfect love and obedience. Confirm in us the new birth, and save us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And because thy judgments are unsearchable to our sinful minds, and thy ways are past finding out, we do not ask a perfect understanding of thy divine majesty and holiness, but only to have a firm faith in thee, O God, and in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Grant that, in beholding thee through thy Son, our Savior, we may know thy glory, that thou art a God of love and mercy, and of grace and truth, and trust wholly and only in thee for all things, in all times, and in every place. Abide with thy church, O Lord, and make her people and pastors diligent in her calling. Cleanse her of error, weakness, and disobedience, and purify her in faith and all good works. Strengthen thy truth in our faltering hands, and give us a lively hope in thy bountiful promises. Grant us, through the merits of Jesus Christ, the remission of all our sins, and preserve us unto the coming of thy heavenly kingdom, when we shall see thee face to face, and faith shall be perfected in heavenly knowledge. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. We sing the third hymn, 242.
Father of heaven, who's love.
with you.
And with thy Spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God, who with thine only begotten Son and the Holy Ghost art one God, one Lord. And in the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which was given into death for your sins. Take and eat the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and drink the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, shed for you for the remission of your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith. Blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Take and drink the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all of your sins. Serve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
O God, the Father, fountain, source of all goodness, who in loving kindness did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 238.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.